as has already been said, how glad we are to be here. How glad we are that we woke up this morning. Many people didn't. How glad we are that we have health and strength to come here today. Many people don't. Thank you, Lord, that we are free to come and free to worship and free to sing and free to praise. Many people are not. Father, we thank you. Thank you now for your word. And in this time that I have, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to understand these important truths that you have for us today. Bless your people, I pray, and those who will listen by means of the internet. I pray, Lord, you will bless each one, and may this message have far-reaching effect for good, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to pick up again part two of the message that I launched 2 weeks ago, and in the will of God, in 2 weeks' time, I'll continue with this message. I introduced the idea to you that it's very important to know who we've been listening to. Who have you been listening to? I shared with you, as I often do, my own testimony of how, as a young boy of 12 years of age, after my dad died, my adopted mother became very angry with everybody, with God, with everybody, and with me in particular. My three sisters had left home and I was left there. And she said some very horrible things to me that I won't repeat this morning, but they were very horrible, and I lived with those for many years. It made me feel demoralized, made me feel worthless, useless, dirty. It made me feel bad. You see, the Bible says that words have, this tongue of ours has the power of life and death. And her words, spoken in temper, in anger, to me and about my real mother, they did bring a sense of death to me. And it took me many years to recover from that. But recover I did, because thank God I listened to another voice. I listened to the voice of the Lord. And as I was sharing with the people in March yesterday morning, whereas the words of my mother were death to me, Jesus came on the scene, another voice, and Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they're life. And this morning I pray that you will hear his voice. Jesus said, my sheep, the people who know me, he said, they know my voice, they recognize it. And so the title of the message is, who have you been listening to? I say again, it's one of the most important messages, one of the most essential messages that you will ever hear. And I ask the question, I ask again, why is a message like this so important? And why is it so necessary? It's because so many Christians are so easily deceived. So many Christians are so very gullible. So many Christians never seem to grow up. They remain children. Children that the Apostle Paul speaks about in Ephesians 4:14. He says, children, they're like children. He said, they're tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching, and they are wavering with every changing wind of doctrine. They become the prey of the cunning and cleverness of scrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery in inventing errors to mislead. I showed you on the first part of the message that when God made the world, everything was good. I asked the question, what happened? I showed you that sin entered into the world. How? By one man. Bible says by Adam. God told Adam and Eve, you can eat of all the trees of the garden except one. The devil came along and he challenged that statement, as he still does do today. It's because of Satan's activity that we have our government and we have people and we have foolish preachers and others talking about gender and talking about redefining marriage. My brothers and sisters, this morning I declare on the authority of this word of God, marriage does not need redefining. It was defined by God Almighty in Genesis, and that remains. Doesn't need redefining. If anything needs redefining, it's our government needs redefining. The word of God needs no redefinement. the subject of marriage does not need to be redefined. God made it very clear that marriage was between one man and one woman for life. That's what God said, not Jim Patterson. God said that. Do I believe it? Yes, I do, with all my heart. And so Satan came on the scene, challenged the word of God, deceived Eve, and Eve disobeyed God, choosing rather to obey the devil. She gave of the forbidden fruit to her husband, of the tree, and he ate. And as a result, they got into guilt. They began trying to hide from God amongst the trees of the garden. And God called out to him. And he said, Adam, where are you? Not because God couldn't see him, because God is all-knowing. But God wanted a response from Adam. Adam, where are you in relation to where you should be? Normally, God said, when I come into the garden, you come running. You come hugging. Why today are you hiding? What's happened? What's changed? What's different? And Adam confessed, and Eve confessed. And then God asked them this question. He said, Who have you been listening to? Who told you? Who have you been listening to? And I showed you the concern of the Apostle Paul. So concerned for the believers in Corinth. If you're making notes, you can get the message online, or if you contact me, I'll get you the outline so that you don't miss out. I mentioned 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12, where Paul expresses his concern. And then he says, I want to cut off every opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded as we are. Paul's talking here about people who, they want the status of being called reverend or bishop or apostle. But Paul says they're not genuine. They're not really born again. They're not people who are preaching and teaching the truth. But they want to be recognized like us. And Paul warned, he said, you need to be careful. And I showed you Jesus, what he said in Matthew 7. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who will enter into the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, those who do the will of God. That's Matthew 7:21. He said, many will come to me and they'll say, Lord, Lord, look at this. We've prophesied in your name. We've cast out demons. We've done many wonders in your name. And Jesus said, I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that practice lawlessness. And so, precious friends, we need to be aware that there's a saying that goes something like, not everything that glitters is gold. And not everything that wears a collar, not everything that has the title reverend or doctor or bishop or apostle or whatever, is a genuine article. We need the discernment. We need the precious Holy Spirit to guide us. Amen. We need to be wise. Jesus said in Matthew 24:4, he said, many will come in my name. They'll say, I am Christ, I'm the anointed. And I showed you how that there are so many people. If you turn on the TV, which I rarely do, I don't like the God channel. Forgive me, it's not all bad, of course, but there's a lot of stuff on there that's not good. I repeat, not all stuff on the God channel is bad. Some of it is not. Some of it is very good. As Revelation TV that I work for a time, they have some excellent programs. But we need to be careful. Many will come saying, I am the Christ, I am anointed. People fall for that. They say things like, oh, the anointing's all over me now. The fire's all over me. Whoopee-doo. They don't say whoopee-doo. I say that. Do I believe in a genuine fire of God? Yes, I do. Have I ever felt it? Yes. Very definitely. Felt sometimes, looked at my hands to see the flames. I'm not boasting. I'm not trying to be clever. Nothing special about that. 1 John 4:1, John warns, he says, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they're of God. And the Apostle Peter, he warned as well, 2 Peter 2:1. I finished last time talking a little bit about the prosperity gospel. Do I believe in prosperity? Yes, I'd rather be prosperous than poor. But sometimes within the will of God, do you understand that God's people sometimes can be in need and have to look to God for the answer to their needs? Because He is. The Bible says, my God shall supply all of your needs. But it doesn't mean there'll always be a big bank balance and your pockets bursting with notes and your handbag full of notes. There are times, the Apostle Paul had them. He said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I am. He talked about need. Yes, I believe God's people can be prosperous, but it doesn't necessarily mean prosperous with a big bank balance. The Bible talks about how that God wants us to prosper and be in health. How? Even as our soul prospers. God talks about prospering our lives, prospering the things we do. If God says, if you'll read my word, meditate on my word, obey my word, God says, I'll prosper you in all that you do. You'll be successful. Amen? But sometimes, friends, the truth is, life will bring you to your knees and you'll say, oh God, I've got this big bill, the car's gone wrong again, this or that. But the marvelous thing is when you come to Him, the Bible says, no good thing will He withhold from them who walk right. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My God shall supply all of my need, N-E-E-D, not my wants, my needs. And the thing about the prosperity gospel is that people are deceived into parting with millions of pounds, gullible Christians, deceived into handing over their life savings, handing over their mortgage money, handing over their rent. I've been in such meetings, God forgive me. I went with friends to be friendly and had my eyes opened. Told you about the guy had 52 Rolex watches. Imagine what you could do with the money from that. Whinged about how God told him to give one to a famous preacher. I'll tell you who it was, not the one who gave the watches, but the man he gave them to was Lester Sumrall. Some of you will have heard that name, he's now with the Lord. And when he met the man some years later, he said, how are you getting on with the watch? And the Reverend Sumrall said, watch? What watch? Ah, the one I gave you, the Rolex, my favorite. Oh, he said, I sold that. You did what? Yes, he said, part of my ministry is helping the poor. And I found some poor people that needed help, so I sold it. And this man told how that he almost burst a fuse. What nonsense. What absolute nonsense. What absolute nonsense. What evil that is. I'll not tell you the name. I'm trying not to mention names of people that I'm thinking of. If you want the names, I'll tell you, but I don't think it's right to mention it in public and going out across the internet. And we'll soon be going live in our broadcasts from the Sunday morning service, and so I need to be very wise. Why give the devil an opportunity? Amen. Why stir him up for nothing? And so I want to pick it up just for a little while this morning, and God willing, I'll pick it up again in 2 weeks' time. I want to highlight a serious problem. Maybe it's a problem you've discovered as well. It's a problem that I find in the lives of so many Christians. And it's the problem of claiming to have heard from God. It's the problem of trying to add weight and authority to their statements by adding the words, God said, the Lord said, the Holy Spirit said. I don't know how you feel when someone says that to you. Do you sort of feel you're in a corner? Well, if God said it, I better listen. Not always. Not always. You don't always have to listen. Usually I would say myself, I say to the person, thank you very much for sharing that. I'll meditate on it. I'll pray it through. So many people who profess to be Christians are too flippant. Far, 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 far too flippant. They're far too familiar when they mention the name of God or the Holy Spirit. See, we're talking about the Lord God Almighty. May God keep us from ever being flippant with that name above all names. Amen. So many people seem to have forgotten the third commandment. What is the third commandment? Exodus 20 verse 7. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him or her guiltless that takes the name in vain. And I personally believe, and I say it lovingly and respectfully this morning, I believe there are thousands of Christians who are going around saying the Lord said this and the Lord said that and God said this and God said that, and they are guilty of taking the Lord's name in vain, because the Lord never said it at all. And I'll prove it from Scripture. Before I go to Jeremiah, I want to read that same verse, Exodus 27. I want to read it from the Amplified Bible. You shall not use or repeat the name of the Lord your God in vain. That is, you will not lightly or frivolously. I'm trying to say frivolously. Somebody say it for me. That's the one. It's a funny word, isn't it? Frivolously. Got it. You'll not take it lightly. In false affirmations or profanity. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. There are so many people who need to hear that. Let me show you Jeremiah 23:16. Would you go there? Thank you, Victor, for your help. You're good at getting the scriptures, and I appreciate your help. Jeremiah 23:16. Let me show you something. This is not your pastor on a high. This is God's word. Jeremiah 23:16, God says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words, verse 16, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision. Notice, they speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. I have heard what the prophets said, the prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Verse 30, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Verse 31, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues, notice, and say, he says. I repeat, this is not your pastor on a high, on a whinge about something, highlighting something that I feel so strongly about. It's in God's word, and my job as a pastor, as a preacher, teacher, is to show you the truth and to share the truth of God with you, in the hope that it helps you and helps others that you will meet. So please pass the message on. Verse 32. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord. And they tell them, and they cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they will not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. See, there it is. The Lord says, no, he didn't. God said, no, he didn't. You say, you're saying. I've been in churches, and maybe you have too, where somebody stood up, and what they've done is they're pretending to give a prophecy, and what they do is they preach at the congregation. Have you ever been in one? Lord, you know that there are people in this church, and Lord, they're being immoral. Lord, they're not in a right relationship. You know what the pastor should do? He should say, sister, you're talking to yourself. You're the very one. Because often I've discovered that that is true. But this person feels they have a right to stand up and dump all their stuff on the whole congregation. God give me wisdom as a pastor to stop anyone who ever starts a flow like that. And I hope you support me. I hope the Lord will help me to do it lovingly. And maybe before I get to that person, you'll have got to them and say, sit down. We need to do that in God's work. Amen. We need to be careful Thank God for prophecy. I long to hear the prophets here. I long to hear the speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. It's scriptural. It's right. And it will bless you. This is what I have in mind. 1996. A single lady that I know very, very well. She announced at a conference, "The Lord has told me that I'm going to be married by this time next year." That was 18 years ago. She's still single. I have a question. Was that God or was that her? See, that's what I'm trying to get at, friends. And somehow people can say that and be like, "Oh!" I have a question. What happens when it doesn't come to pass? You see, because I happen to believe when God says something, He means it. It'll come to pass. See, my Bible says, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie. New Living Translation, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? I love these scriptures. Joshua 21:45. Joshua 21:45. Listen to this. "There failed not," underline that, "there failed not aught," anything, "there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel." Listen to this. "All came to pass." That's God. If God ever says to you, "By this time next year, you will be married," you will be married, and probably I'll be conducting the wedding. Joshua 23:14. Joshua says, "You know in all your hearts, in all your souls," listen to this, "not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you." Notice, "all are come to pass unto you." Not one thing has failed. And right now I'm speaking hope to someone, either here or listening to the recording. God spoke a word. God gave a definite, clear word. But as yet, it doesn't seem anything's happening. I promise you this on the authority of God's word. God cannot fail. He cannot fail. And I think it's Joel or Habakkuk, one of the two, says, "Though the vision tarry, though the prophecy tarry, though what God said to you tarries, wait for it. It will come to pass." Amen? That's a word for somebody. 1 Kings 8:56. 1 Kings 8:56. Solomon said, "There has not failed one word of all God's good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." Isaiah 55:10. Isaiah 55:10. Listen to this. "As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but they water the earth and they make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." God says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." Notice, "it shall not return unto me void or return unto me empty. It shall accomplish that I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I send it." God's word will not fail. We used to sing a chorus years ago. Some of you young people like Sylvia and others, and God bless you, Sylvia, as you go off for the operation tomorrow. God's going to do good things for you, bring you through. We'll all be behind you, praying for you. We used to sing, "He cannot fail." Anybody know it? "He cannot fail, for he is God. He cannot fail, he's pledged his word. He cannot fail, he'll see you through. He cannot fail, he'll answer you." God cannot fail. He cannot, never has, never does, never will. Amen. Matthew 24:35. Jesus said this, He said, heaven and earth shall pass away. But my word, do you know the rest of that? My word shall not pass away. Psalm 119:89, Jonathan quoted it last Sunday. Do you remember it? Forever, O Lord, forever. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. One translation says, forever your word stands firm. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:24. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord, what happens to the word of the Lord? It endures forever. Don't forget that. Let me finish with this scripture. 1 Peter 2 verse 1. 1 Peter 2 verse 1. The Apostle Peter, he talks about what the disciples saw. Remember, Peter was with Jesus. So he's talking about what the disciples heard and saw. And he shares from personal experience. And then he says this in verse 19. Notice, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Hold on to that. Peter says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. I looked up the Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar, but we have so many helps today, it's easy. And in the Greek it says, we have more sure the word of prophecy. That's it. God's word. Peter is ranking scripture. Please remember this if you remember nothing else I've said. Please remember this. Peter is ranking scripture above experience. The prophetic word, the scripture, the word of God, the prophetic word, the scripture is more complete, more permanent, and more authoritative than the experience of anyone. Good place to say amen. So many people, I think, I want, I feel. God's word, what does God's word say? Yes, I believe in prophecy. Yes, I believe God speaks through people. But I'll always line it up with the word. If I can line it up with the word, then it's okay. More specifically, the word of God is a more reliable verification of the teachings about the person, the atonement, and the second coming of Christ than even the genuine first-hand experiences of the apostles themselves. That's what Peter's talking about. He says, oh, we were there. We saw him. We heard him. We saw the miracles. I mean, he once told me, said Peter, he once invited me to walk on water, and I did. And I was doing fine until I looked at the waves, and I thought, oh, I can't do this. He said, I began to sink. And he reached out his hand and saved me. Took me back to the boat. I was there when he performed the miracles. Saw it. But Peter says, he says, look, we have this more sure. More sure than personal experience every time is the word of God. Amen. Amen. Don't forget that, will you? And Peter says, you do well. You do well to heed the scriptures. Amen to that. And Peter was warning believers that since they would be exposed to false teachers, they must pay careful attention to the scriptures. And then Peter says, you do well to heed the scriptures, a light that shines in a dark place. Yes, the world is dark. But thank God for the light of God's word. Thy word, says Psalm 119, 105, thy word is what? It's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall never walk in darkness. We come, Ruth and I, we come through every Sunday morning, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, and sometimes other times of the week, come through the tunnel, the Blackwall Tunnel. Yeah, there's lots of lights in there. The reason I mention the tunnel is some people are always talking about, oh, I'm looking for a light at the end of the tunnel. I'm not. I'll tell you why. Because I have the light in me. You have too. Did you know something? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And what about this book? All you have to do is open it. All you have to do is switch it on. Ah, light. The Bible says the entrance of your word gives light. Your word is a lamp to my feet. So what's all this about waiting for a light at the end of the tunnel? I say, I have a light with me and in the jolly tunnel. Hallelujah. Next time you go through a tunnel, remember that. Not waiting for a light at the end of the tunnel. No, praise God. Don't take your hands off the wheel and put them up in the air, but you can say, praise God, I have the light. I have the light of the word. I have the light of Christ. Hallelujah. We'll leave it there for this morning. I'll pick it up in 2 weeks' time, God willing. Father God, thank you for your precious word of truth. Pray that you'll bless it to your people and help them to meditate on it. And Holy Spirit, please, will you carry on where I left off? Will you give each person who heard this part of the message this morning, will you give them help, illumination, revelation, so that these things that I've been sharing, Lord, are more than words that they hear, that they'll become part of their lives, Lord. Will you write this word indelibly in their hearts and minds, I pray. Those people who will listen to the message by means of the recorder, I pray, Father, that you will bless each one. And as we go on to serve you, we ask for your strength. We ask for your blessing. Father, I pray that you'll bless each person here this morning, each person listening to this recording. Those here this morning, I pray, Father God, that you'll give Sylvia a sense of peace about hospital tomorrow. Lord, take away all trepidation, all fear. You've said you've not given us a spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Please, Lord, will you let her know you're with her, you're for her, you're in her. Oh, Father God, we hand Sylvia into your hands and we ask that you personally, Father, you be the consultant, you be the surgeon, you be in charge of the nurses. You be in charge of it all, Father, and bring our sister through this, we pray, with flying colors. May she never have one second when she's not conscious of your presence and your power at work in her life. Guide everyone that touches her. Guide them, we pray, so that everything will be done right and done with excellence and not have to be redone, we pray. We pray for Greta too, Lord, with this knee problem following this operation, Lord. We thank you that you love her. Thank you for bringing her to the well on Wednesday. Thank you for bringing her this morning. Folks have already prayed for her, and we say amen to their prayer that in the name of Jesus, Greta's knee will be totally healed and that everything that's not of you in that knee will be removed in Jesus' name. Everything gone. Just like Jesus cursed the fig tree. And that fig tree next morning was withered. We would, on the authority of God's word and the authority of the power of the name of Jesus, we would curse everything that's not of you in that knee and ask, Lord, that in its place you'll bring total healing in the name of Jesus. And anyone else, Lord, in our congregation that needs healing, pray that your power will flow in Jesus' name.